It is another Saturday in CCO Land when we talk cars, trucks, vans, and the problems you may have with yours. It's Denny Long here with Nick Stoffel. Nick is an ASE-certified technician who runs a great place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And, Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
Nice morning we have going here. I hope you and your crews had a good week and have the weekend off, of course. Have Monday off, but a busy week, I presume, as usual. A lot of folks getting ready to hit the road.
Oh, we're in full swing of things. We're, I suppose, a week and a half behind now, and that's unfortunately the way the summers typically work. So if you are planning a road trip or yet young ones coming home from school, get on the schedule soon, whether it's with us or whomever, because this is kind of a typical trend here in the last several years. So if you need help, get that scheduled sooner than later so you don't you're not stuck left out.
Absolutely. If you have any kind of a car care question, we welcome yours either by phone or by text, and we always like to say sooner rather than later because Nick leaves us about 7:45 this morning when Jack Farrell's Wine Chat begins. So if you have any kind of problem with your car, your truck, your van, and you think you need to bring it in for service, but you kind of want to know ahead of the game what could be wrong with it, Nick will give you a bit of an analysis over the radio this morning, either by phone or by text. Here's the number to get that done. We welcome yours right now, 651-461-9226. Nick, we got this was earlier this morning. I'll kind of encapsulate it. It says basically when and how often, I guess under what circumstances, a texter wants to know, should one get an alignment? And how is that done, by the way? Is this something you should do once in a while, or what's the deal with an alignment?
Well, that's a good question. Based on conditions, tire wear, driving concerns, you know, when you have the vehicle in for service and they look and measure the tires and check the pressures, they can get a visual of the wear pattern of the tire. And I would hope that if there's any abnormal wear, it'd be worth having it measured out and checked. So we have a hoist or a rack that we pull the vehicle on, and there's a computer with mirrors that essentially measures the angles as we compensate the vehicle to see if everything's lined up. Because the alignment will affect tire wear, the handling, the way the car tracks down the road. So it's important. And if it's too far off, it can damage those tires and wear them out way prematurely. So I would say on a regular service, they should look at your tires. When you're replacing tires, if the old ones had any abnormal wear whatsoever, you want to have that measured because you don't want to damage brand new tires.
Oh, okay. It seems to me many years ago, I don't see it anymore. As you see, like some dogs walk, you know, kind of the rear end sticking out farther to one side or another, and I assume that was like a bent frame or something, right?
Well, that would have been how it was dog tracking, as you described, and usually
dog tracking.
There was a lot more adjustments, I'll say, years ago. Now, if you see a car doing that now, there's significant concern on what's wrong. So I would avoid, if I was behind a car on the road and it was dog tracking, I would probably slow down and get away from them.
And again, once in a while, we talk about folks when they if they're about to purchase a previously owned car from where whatever source, we always recommend, and I know you guys do at Lloyd's, to get it have it looked over before you buy it. And if the owner is saying, well, I don't know if I want to do that, that's kind of a red flag. When someone does bring in a used vehicle to get it checked out, what does the technician do? What are all the elements that are looked at?
Well, first of all, absolutely, you need to have a vehicle inspected. Any used vehicle you're buying, with the cost of vehicles on the road today, with the longevity and the age of the vehicles on the road today, you want to make sure you have it looked over before you purchase it. The alignment is one of those things, and we'll look at the steering, suspension, the brakes, the tires, the alignment stuff, the heating, the cooling, the running mechanics of the engine, some of the interior options. You know, it takes probably an hour and change to perform this inspection. And it is just that, keep in mind. It is an inspection, given our best opinion of what we see. We can't necessarily see what's going on inside of everything. So with the records, with your explanation from the person selling the vehicle, the history of the vehicle, what we're doing is just one more piece of information to help you make the records with your explanation from the person selling the vehicle, the history of the vehicle. What we're doing is just one more piece of information to help you make the best decision for you.
Sure. I'm looking at a text that says, when I open any door on my 2012 Jeep Liberty, I hear a few loud clicks under the dash. Any ideas of what that is?
That's strange. I wonder if there's something backfeeding, you know. And 2012 might be a little bit on the edge of technology, but oftentimes when you open, if you're listening to the radio on the in your vehicle, you shut the vehicle off, you open the door, that's when it shuts off. Maybe something's backfeeding there, and we're getting a little bit of residual noise there. I would maybe make a note of it. Pay attention. See if there's any other odd symptoms going on. Note those also. Maybe next time you're in for service, bring those notes with you. Share that. Maybe there's something they can look a little further into it. But I don't think just that alone is a huge concern. The car is 10, 11, or 12 years old. If it's operating fine, I think you're probably okay.
All right. Tell you what, let's do. Let's take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have any kind of a problem with your vehicle, we'd love to hear from you. You can call it in if you want to chat with Nick, or if you want to just send a text like other folks are doing, we'll accept that too. But do it sooner rather than later. Nick will be with us till just about 7:45 this morning. Time goes by so quickly. It's a holiday weekend here. We have 50, that's official, 50 degrees in the Twin Cities, going for near 75 today, but it's going to be a rainy Sunday and a chance of rain on Memorial Day as well. We'll talk more weather details in a matter of minutes. Again, 50 degrees on News Talk 830 WCCO. On this Memorial Day weekend, you're back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us. We have 52 now in the Twin Cities. And in the midst of chatting with Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we're getting more questions as usual. But folks that maybe need some help at Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. If you need help, advice, have a question, don't hesitate to call. We're at 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be on Grand Avenue, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand in St. Paul. And as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Yes, indeed. We'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. So let's hear from you. If you have any kind of a problem with your car, your truck, your van, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Kind of a follow-up on that last question about the 2012 Jeep Liberty with a few loud clicks under the dash when they open any door. Texter says, could it be the actuator? And first of all, what's that?
Well, typically an actuator would be for like a door lock. It's a little motor with like a solenoid that when you either hit the remote button or the button inside, it sends an electrical signal to lock or unlock. There's also actuators like in the heating and cooling system to change those temperature and blend doors. So they're just years ago, you'd pull a knob and there'd be a cable attached. Well, in the last, I don't know, a couple decades, I suppose you could, or more, they've used little electrical solenoids to kind of operate items. So it's they do click because it's a solenoid. I'm not sure what sequence is creating that clicking under the dash. I think something's probably being backfed. I mean, told to do something when it's not supposed to. Mm-hmm. But I think I would also wait and see, collect some information, make notes of anything that's out of the normal, and then next time you're in for service, bring it up and see if they can find something for them.
Absolutely. Here's a problem we got to get solved here, Nick. 2003 Sienna van. There's water on not only the driver's side, but the passengers as well. What is that? Where's that coming from? Could it be?
So this time of the year, a couple things happen. With the debris that collected over the winter and fall, that ends up in our cowling at the base of our windshield, under the hood at the base of the windshield, up, and if it has a sunroof, the sunroof drains. That cowling can plug and restrict water flow. Or the plugging of the cowling will restrict water flow, which means that water needs to find a place to go. Unfortunately, sometimes that's in the vehicle. The other thing that happens, as it's been a warm spring, we use our air conditioning. Same thing there. When that air conditioning's operating, it's creating moisture. That box at the base of our feet in the vehicle is where that equipment's held. or housed, there's a drain. If that drain becomes plugged, same problem. You have water with no place to go, and it ends up inside the vehicle. So if your car has water on the floor of the vehicle after a rain, I'm thinking there's a draining system that's not working properly. If you notice on a hot day your car is running, you have the air conditioning on, there's no water dripping outside the vehicle, that means it's inside the vehicle. You need to have that cleaned out. We don't want mold. You can dry stuff out, but if it continues to be a problem, at some point you're going to have mold and have a bigger problem.
I was just thinking the other day, because I was parked under a tree, and a lot, you know, this time of year you get all this stuff that falls from trees besides sap. By the windshield, you know, where you have that kind of an intake area, and if that gets filled, is that inhibiting any kind of an airflow or air conditioning problems? Or, you know what I'm saying? And I had to clean it out, but now I think I have to clean it out again. Is that a good idea to keep that clean?
Absolutely. I know we're all busy. We're all in a hurry. It's no different than the winter time. You know, your wiper blades are designed to clear rain, not clear snow. So we always see those folks that are trying to clear the windshield from snow with the wipers. That's not how they're designed. Same idea goes here. You know, you're filling the vehicle with gas. You have a few minutes. At the base of the windshield, if you see any debris or leaves there, pull them out, put them in the trash can, or even pop the hood to get the layer underneath the hood. The same idea. There's the intake to your heating and cooling system. I think you'll have airflow, but what you might end up with is that stuff decomposes, you're sucking air through that decomposing material, which is going to smell. So takes you just a few moments. You don't need any tools. You just need, the next time you're getting gas, pop the hood and clean it out. That's my best advice.
I used a shop vac, too. I noticed if I was delayed in getting, like, a new cabin filter in there, in a vehicle, that you might find leaves and stuff like that in that as well, if you haven't cleaned it, right?
Absolutely. We see leaves, critters, you know, nest. I mean, we, you know, depending on the time of the year, we have these similar conversations, as you're well aware of. It's just, when we do cabin filters, we're going to look and clear all that out, but that might not be every other year. So the leaves, the trees are dropping something almost constantly, it seems like. So I can't stress it enough. It's a simple thing that we should all do, take care of on our own personal checklist, keep going.
Yeah. Here's something I was just thinking about yesterday as I pulled into the garage, turning off any accessories before I shut the car off. I'm kind of weird that way. This question from a listener says, does it help to turn off the AC before turning off the vehicle, or is there no real benefit? I'm guessing there's no real harm can be caused, right?
I agree. No, it doesn't do any harm shutting the compressor off to let air just flow through to try to dry that out. I suppose it helps to some extent, but definitely not necessary. The vehicles are designed to handle and manage that. You know, that's why there's a drain in there, so it'll drain out. The drain's a low point. So even after you shut the vehicle off, you might notice a few drops on your garage floor or in your parking spot, and that's just because that evaporator system is just draining. So I don't think it's necessary to go above and beyond your normal routine.
Okay. Good morning. This texter says, wondering what you know about recalls. Wrangler recall for a clutch plate replacement, and during the service, something else broke in the transmission. Who's responsible for the additional repairs? Well, that's a big question.
That's a big question, and I don't know. However, yeah. Ask questions. Go back to the dealership, say, hey, there was a recall. They should be able to explain what happened and why. Whose responsibility that should make everybody feel comfortable make sense? You know, my opinion would be if we're performing a repair and we're negligent and break something, that's our responsibility. However, if there's a procedure, you know, if something's really rusty and we're trying to take something apart, we're taking all the necessary steps to be careful, and there's additional work that's created, I don't know if that's somebody's fault. So I don't know how to draw that line for this listener.
Yeah.
And as far as recalls go, if you get online, get to the manufacturer's website, there's likely a place you can find any active recalls. You can enter your vehicle's identification number, and it'll print those out and tell you word for word what it is, which might be a good idea to read up before you contact them to have another conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Good idea. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break, find out what that holiday weather forecast calls for, and we have more show to come. goes by rather quickly. Nick will be leaving us about 15 minutes from now. So call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you may have. 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering those car care questions as usual today. Well, here's one for you, Nick. Texter says, is there any deterrent to keep chipmunks out of my truck? They are hard on the wiring. Well, I would imagine they are just like squirrels and mice. You have any secret formula for keeping chipmunks out of the engine compartment?
My best advice would be clean it out as best as possible, and then unfortunately try to find a little different area to park. If you parked up close to a brush and trees and whatever, maybe trim some of that back. You want to just make them find a different path to wherever they're looking for, and it's not through your vehicle. So it's always hard because we get a lot of these types of questions and problems throughout the year. And I would say just clean it the very best you can. Try to find a different place to park and hope that once that's cleaned out, they won't have that scent and maybe they'll leave your vehicle alone.
And even in garages, we always urge folks, keep the bird seed and the other food items out of your garage as well. Put them in better containers, certainly. Here is another one. I know we're almost out of time. 1967 Ford pickup. Wow. Manual transmission. Sometimes, Texas says, when I take off, it jumps a little. Every time that I back up, it jumps, especially when I'm going uphill. Is this a clutch issue?
I would suspect yes. As you're applying the clutch, depending on how the pedal feels, it should be nice, smooth. Obviously, it's older, so it's mechanical likely. Maybe there's a little bit of an adjustment there. Different things I would personally try, maybe try to slip the clutch a little bit, try to clean up that surface. Maybe it's not grabbing so much and it would slip a little. That goes back before I was born. So, but my first thought was I would probably try to slip the clutch to try to burn it up a little bit to try to get a new clean surface there. So maybe when you're engaging, it's not jittering like that and jumping like that. That'd be my first try, I guess.
How often do you and your crews at Lloyd's see manual transmissions come in for service? Not the transmission itself, but vehicles that are 5-6 speed transmissions.
There are fewer and fewer on the road.
Yeah.
There's not many manufacturers. I'm sure there's a couple that I'm not thinking of, but I can't think of a new car now on the road that's going to be a regular manual transmission. Some have the paddle shift, which isn't exactly the same. It's computer and electronically controlled, but the three pedals on the floor, which we kind of joke about being a great anti-theft deterrent, because if somebody jumps into the car and there's three pedals,
right.
I don't know what to do. But yeah, we still see them. They're still on the roads. We still do clutches from time to time, but it is becoming more rare.
Texter said spray peppermint in the engine compartment to keep the critters out. Yeah, I think that and it's a cheap way of doing it, too. Spraying peppermint. Now, there's another text that heard me mention what I did several years ago to another vehicle that I had kind of a musty smell. I wouldn't recommend this for everybody, but I did use Lysol. I read about it somewhere. You don't sit in the vehicle while you do it, but your engine's running. You have it on the AC on the recirculate, or the fan, and you spray it in the from the outside into that area we were talking about underneath your windshield, and let it kind of permeate that whole area. But do change your cabin filter, as well. But that's what I did, and it worked way back then. But I haven't done that since. So yeah, you can probably Google that using Lysol. So peppermint. You know what? We're just about out of time. Nick, give us the indication of where you guys are located and how we can find Lloyd's Automotive for some help.
Yes, sir. So we're on Grand Avenue, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway on Grand in St. Paul. It's 982 Grand. If you need some advice or have a question, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And please, as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
And Nick, another listener, we have the smartest listeners as far as that clutch idea. Could be loose or broken motor mount for that clutch problem. That's another thought. Nick, very thanks possible. So much. We hope you and your family enjoy this weekend and stay safe. And we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Your family as well.
Thank you. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat on this National Wine Day, straight ahead on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is another Saturday in CCO land when we talk cars, trucks, vans, and the problems you may have with yours. It's Denny Long here with Nick Stoffel. Nick is an ASC certified technician who runs a great place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
Nice morning we have going here. I hope you and your crews had a good week and have the weekend off, of course. Have Monday off, but a busy week, I presume, as usual. A lot of folks getting ready to hit the road.
Oh, we're in full swing of things. We're, I suppose, a week and a half behind now, and that's unfortunately the way the summers typically work. So if you are planning a road trip or yet young ones coming home from school, get on the schedule soon, whether it's with us or whomever, because this is kind of a typical trend here in the last several years. So if you need help, get that scheduled sooner than later so you don't you're not stuck left out.
Absolutely. If you have any kind of a car care question, we welcome yours either by phone or by text, and we always like to say sooner rather than later, because Nick leaves us about 7:45 this morning when Jack Farrell's Wine Chat begins. So if you have any kind of problem with your car, your truck, your van, and you think you need to bring it in for service, but you kind of want to know ahead of the game what could be wrong with it, Nick will give you a bit of an analysis over the radio this morning, either by phone or by text. Here's the number to get that done. We welcome yours right now, 651-461-9226. Nick, we got this was earlier this morning. I'll kind of encapsulate it. It says basically when and how often, I guess under what circumstances, a texter wants to know, should one get an alignment? And how is that done, by the way? Is this something you should do once in a while, or what's the deal with an alignment?
Well, that's a good question. Based on conditions, tire wear, driving concerns, you know, when you have the vehicle in for service and they look and measure the tires and check the pressures, they can get a visual of the wear pattern of the tire. And I would hope that if there's any abnormal wear, it'd be worth having it measured out and checked. So we have a hoist or a rack that we pull the vehicle on, and there's a computer with mirrors that essentially measures the angles as we compensate the vehicle to see if everything's lined up. Because the alignment will affect tire wear, the handling, the way the car tracks down the road. So it's important. And if it's too far off, it can damage those tires and wear them out way prematurely. So I would say on a regular service, they should look at your tires. When you're replacing tires, if the old ones had any abnormal wear whatsoever, you want to have that measured because you don't want to damage brand new tires.
Okay. It seems to me many years ago, I don't see it anymore. As you see, like some dogs walk, you know, kind of the rear end sticking out farther to one side or another, and I assume that was like a bent frame or something, right?
Well, that would have been how it was dog tracking, as you described, and usually
dog tracking.
There was a lot more adjustments, I'll say, years ago. Now, if you see a car doing that now, there's significant concern on what's wrong. So I would avoid, if I was behind a car on the road and it was dog tracking, I would probably slow down and get away from them.
And again, once in a while, we talk about folks when they, if they're about to purchase a previously owned car from whatever source, we always recommend, and I know you guys do at Lloyd's, to get it, have it looked over before you buy it. And if the owner is saying, well, I don't know if I want to do that, that's kind of a red flag. When someone does bring in a used vehicle to get it checked out, what does the technician do? What are all the elements that are looked at?
Well, first of all, absolutely, you need to have a vehicle inspected. Any used vehicle you're buying, with the cost of vehicles on the road today, with the longevity and the age of the vehicles on the road today, you want to make sure you have it looked over before you purchase it. The alignment is one of those things, and we'll look at the steering, suspension, the brakes, the tires, the alignment stuff, the heating, the cooling, the running mechanics of the engine, some of the interior options. You know, it takes probably an hour and change to perform this inspection, and it is just that. Keep in mind, it is an inspection, giving our best opinion of what we see. We can't necessarily see what's going on inside of everything. So with the records, with your explanation from the person selling the vehicle, the history of the vehicle, what we're doing is just one more piece of information to help you make the records with your explanation from the person selling the vehicle, the history of the vehicle. What we're doing is just one more piece of information to help you make the best decision for you.
Sure. I'm looking at a text that says, when I open any door on my 2012 Jeep Liberty, I hear a few loud clicks under the dash. Any ideas of what that is?
That's strange. I wonder if there's something backfeeding, you know. And 2012 might be a little bit on the edge of technology, but oftentimes when you open, if you're listening to the radio in your vehicle, you shut the vehicle off, you open the door, that's when it shuts off. Maybe something's backfeeding there, and we're getting a little bit of residual noise there. I would maybe make a note of it. Pay attention. See if there's any other odd symptoms going on. Note those also. Maybe next time you're in for service, bring those notes with you, share that. Maybe there's something they can look a little further into it. But I don't think just that alone is a huge concern. The car is 10, 11, or 12 years old. If it's operating fine, I think you're probably okay.
All right. Tell you what, let's do. Let's take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have any kind of a problem with your vehicle, we'd love to hear from you. You can call it in if you want to chat with Nick, or if you want to just send a text like other folks are doing, that's we'll accept that too. But do it sooner rather than later. Nick will be with us till just about 7:45 this morning. Time goes by so quickly. It's a holiday weekend here. We have 50, that's official, 50 degrees in the Twin Cities, going for near 75 today, but it's going to be a rainy Sunday and a chance of rain on Memorial Day as well. We'll talk more weather details in a matter of minutes. Again, 50 degrees on News Talk 830 WCCO. On this Memorial Day weekend, you're back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us. We have 52 now in the Twin Cities. And in the midst of chatting with Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we're getting more questions as usual. But folks that may need some help at Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. If you need help, advice, have a question, don't hesitate to call. We're at 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be on Grand Avenue, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand in St. Paul. And as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Yes, indeed. We'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. So let's hear from you. If you have any kind of a problem with your car, your truck, your van, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Kind of a follow-up on that last question about the 2012 Jeep Liberty with a few loud clicks under the dash when they open any door. The texter says, could it be the actuator? And first of all, what's that?
Well, typically an actuator would be for like a door lock. It's a little motor with like a solenoid that when you either hit the remote button or the button inside, it sends an electrical signal to lock or unlock. There's also actuators like in the heating and cooling system to change those temperature and blend doors. So they're just, years ago you'd pull a knob and there'd be a cable attached. Well, in the last, I don't know, a couple decades, I suppose, you could, or more, they've used little electrical solenoids to kind of operate items. So it's they do click because it's a solenoid. I'm not sure what sequence is creating that clicking under the dash. I think something's probably being backfed and being told to do something when it's not supposed to. Mm-hmm. But I think I would also wait and see, collect some information, make notes of anything that's out of the normal, and then next time you're in for service, bring it up and see if they can find something for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a problem we got to get solved here, Nick. 2003 Sienna van. There's water on not only the driver's side, but the passengers as well. What is that? Where's that coming from? Could it be?
So this time of the year, a couple things happen. With the debris that collected over the winter and fall, that ends up in our cowling at the base of our windshield, under the hood at the base of the windshield, up, and if it has a sunroof, the sunroof drains. That cowling can plug and restrict water flow. Or the plugging of the cowling will restrict water flow, which means that water needs to find a place to go. Unfortunately, sometimes that's in the vehicle. The other thing that happens, as it's been a warm spring, we use our air conditioning. Same thing there. When that air conditioning's operating, it's creating moisture. That box at the base of our feet in the vehicles where that equipment's held or housed, there's a drain. If that drain becomes plugged, same problem. You have water with no place to go, and it ends up inside the vehicle. So if your car has water on the floor of the vehicle after a rain, I'm thinking there's a draining system that's not working properly. If you notice on a hot day your car is running, you have the air conditioning on, there's no water dripping outside the vehicle, that means it's inside the vehicle. You need to have that cleaned out. We don't want mold. You can dry stuff out, but if it continues to be a problem, at some point you're going to have mold and have a bigger problem.
I was just thinking the other day, because I was parked under a tree, and a lot, you know, this time of year you get all this stuff that falls from trees besides sap. By the windshield, you know, where you have that kind of an intake area, and if that gets filled, is that inhibiting any kind of an airflow or air conditioning problems? Or, you know what I'm saying? And I had to clean it out, but now I think I have to clean it out again. Is that a good idea to keep that clean?
Absolutely. I know we're all busy. We're all in a hurry. It's no different than the winter time. You know, your wiper blades are designed to clear rain, not clear snow. So we always see those folks that are trying to clear the windshield from snow with the wipers. That's not how they're designed. Same idea goes here. You know, you're filling the vehicle with gas. You have a few minutes. At the base of the windshield, if you see any debris or leaves there, pull them out, put them in the trash can, or even pop the hood to get the layer underneath the hood. The same idea. There's the intake to your heating and cooling system. I think you'll have airflow, but what you might end up with is that stuff decomposes. You're sucking air through that decomposing material, which is going to smell. So it's takes you just a few moments. You don't need any tools. You just need, the next time you're getting gas, pop the hood and clean it out. That's my best advice.
I used a shop vac, too. I noticed if I was delayed in getting, like, a new cabin filter in there, in a vehicle, that you might find leaves and stuff like that in that as well, if you haven't cleaned it, right?
Absolutely. We see leaves, critters, you know, nest. I mean, we, you know, depending on the time of the year, we have these similar conversations, as you're well aware of. So, yeah, it's just when we do cabin filters, we're going to look and clear all that out. But that might not be every other year. So the leaves, the trees are dropping something almost constantly, it seems like. So I can't stress it enough. It's a simple thing that we should all do, take care of on our own personal checklist. Keep going.
Yeah. Here's something I was just thinking about yesterday as I pulled into the garage, turning off any accessories before I shut the car off. I'm kind of weird that way. This question from a listener says, does it help to turn off the AC before turning off the vehicle, or is there no real benefit? I'm guessing there's no real harm can be caused, right?
I agree. No, it doesn't do any harm shutting the compressor off to let air just flow through to try to dry that out. I suppose it helps to some extent, but definitely not necessary. The vehicles are designed to handle and manage that. You know, that's why there's a drain in there, so it'll drain out. The drain's a low point. So even if, after you shut the vehicle off, you might notice a few drops on your garage floor or in your parking spot, and that's just because that evaporator system is just draining. So I don't think it's necessary to go above and beyond your normal routine.
Okay. Good morning. This texter says, wondering what you know about recalls. Wrangler recall for a clutch plate replacement, and during the service, something else broke in the transmission. Who's responsible for the additional repairs? Well, that's a big question.
That's a big question, and I'm going to have I don't know. However, yeah. Ask questions. Go back to the dealership. Say, hey, there was a recall. They should be able to explain what happened and why. Whose responsibility that should make everybody feel comfortable and make sense? You know, my opinion would be if we're performing a repair and we're negligent and break something, that's our responsibility. However, if there's a procedure, you know, if something's really rusty and we're trying to take something apart, we're taking all the necessary steps to be careful, and there's additional work that's created, I don't know if that's somebody's fault. So I don't know how to draw that line for this listener.
Yeah.
And as far as recalls go, if you get online, get to the manufacturer's website, there's likely a place you can find any active recalls. You can enter your vehicle's identification number, and it'll print those out and tell you word for word what it is, which might be a good idea to read up before you contact them to have another conversation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Good idea. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break, find out what that holiday weather forecast calls for, and we have more show to come. Goes by rather quickly. Nick will be leaving us about 15 minutes from now. So call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you may have. 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering those car care questions as usual today. Well, here's one for you, Nick. Texter says, is there any deterrent to keep chipmunks out of my truck? They are hard on the wiring. Well, I would imagine they are, just like squirrels and mice. You have any secret formula for keeping chipmunks out of the engine compartment?
My best advice would be clean it out as best as possible, and then unfortunately try to find a little different area to park. If you parked up close to a brush and trees and whatever, maybe trim some of that back. You want to just make them find a different path to wherever they're looking for, and it's not through your vehicle. So it's always hard because we get a lot of these types of questions and problems throughout the year. And I would say just clean it the very best you can. Try to find a different place to park and hope that once that's cleaned out, they won't have that scent and maybe they'll leave your vehicle alone.
And even in garages, we always urge folks, keep the bird seed and the other food items out of your garage as well. Put them in better containers, certainly. Here is another one. I know we're almost out of time. 1967 Ford pickup. Wow. Manual transmission. Sometimes, Texas says, when I take off, it jumps a little. Every time that I back up, it jumps, especially when I'm going uphill. Is this a clutch issue?
I would suspect yes. As you're applying the clutch, depending how the pedal feels, it should be nice, smooth. Obviously, it's older, so it's mechanical likely. Maybe there's a little bit of an adjustment there. Different things I would personally try, maybe try to slip the clutch a little bit, try to clean up that surface. Maybe it's not grabbing so much and it would slip a little. That goes back before I was born. So, but my first thought was I would probably try to slip the clutch to try to burn it up a little bit to try to get a new clean surface there. So maybe when you're engaging, it's not jittering like that and jumping like that. That'd be my first try, I guess.
How often do you and your crews at Lloyd's see manual transmissions come in for service? Not the transmission itself, but vehicles that are, 5-6-speed transmissions.
There are fewer and fewer on the road. Yeah. There's not many manufacturers. I'm sure there's a couple that I'm not thinking of, but I can't think of a new car now on the road that's going to be a regular manual transmission. Some have the paddle shift, which isn't exactly the same. It's computer and electronically controlled, but the three pedals on the floor, which we kind of joke about being a great anti-theft deterrent, because if somebody jumps into the car and there's three pedals,
right.
I don't know what to do. We still see them. They're still on the roads. We still do clutches from time to time, but it is becoming more rare.
Texter said spray peppermint in the engine compartment to keep the critters out. Yeah, I think and it's a cheap way of doing it, too. Spraying peppermint. Now, there's another text that heard me mention what I did several years ago to another vehicle that I had kind of a musty smell. I wouldn't recommend this for everybody, but I did use Lysol. I read about it somewhere. You don't sit in the vehicle while you do it, but your engine's running. You have it on the AC on the recirculate, or the fan, and you spray it in the from the outside into that area we were talking about underneath your windshield, and let it kind of you know, permeate that whole area. But do change your cabin filter, you know, as well. But that's what I did, and it worked way back then, but I haven't done that since. So, yeah, you can probably Google that using Lysol. So peppermint. You know what? We're just about out of time. Nick, give us indication of where you guys are located and how we can find Lloyd's Automotive for some help.
Yes, sir. So we're on Grand Avenue, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway on Grand in St. Paul. It's 982 Grand. If you need some advice or have a question, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And please, as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
And Nick, another listener, we have the smartest listeners as far as that clutch idea. Could be loose or broken motor mount for that clutch problem. That's another thought. Nick, very thanks possible. So much. We hope you and your family enjoy this weekend and stay safe. And we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Your family as well.
Thank you. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat on this National Wine Day, straight ahead on News Talk 830 WCCO.